Welcome back to Rotten Zombies with Keith Carpenter and the Wren.
That's our new zombie voice.
Okay.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
It's different. I did it different. I used like this special, you know that thing I have that has all the weird voices?
Yeah.
I used one of those instead of just pitching it down.
Oh, okay.
But that's our new zombie. So that's, you know, when you look at the podcast, you see the big Arnold Schwarzenegger zombie guy, you know? I call him Arnold Schwarzenegger zombie. That's what he sounds
Does
like.
Does he cheat on a zombie wife
at least
as
in
well.
My head. Anyway, welcome back to Rotten Zombies with Keith Carpenter and the Wren, where we talk about all things zombie and sometimes a few other things that aren't so zombie, but still zombie stuff. How are you doing, Mr. Wren?
I'm doing good.
This is episode 10.
That's right.
This is the episode where we choose one of our many followers to get a autographed copy of Freeze Dry The Awakening. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this. And you got to be here for it.
A man diagnosed with an incurable brain tumor spends millions to place himself in cryogenic stasis until technology can be developed to cure his condition. But to his horror, he is awakened in a world torn apart by a plague of the living dead. Freeze-dried. The Awakening by Keith Carpenter. Available now at keithcarpenter.biz or find it on amazon.com. Just when you thought the sting of death couldn't get any colder.
Or if you are the winner.
That's right.
Or you are the follower that wins your own autographed copy.
You don't have to go to keithcarpenter.biz or amazon.com or finer bookstores everywhere.
You don't. Matter of fact, I have the names of our many followers that I have cut up and put into this little receptacle.
Oh.
Mr. Wren, I'm shaking them about. I want you to reach in and pull out a name. We're doing this on the air. You can't see us, but believe me, we are really
This is exciting.
Okay, reach
All
in.
All right, reaching in. Going
Just
around
take
with
out
name.
One.
Taking out one.
Oh, right.
Right. Okay. And the winner of autographed copy of Freeze Dried, Paul Tagonist.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
I am so serious.
That is so cool. He's going to be so pumped, man. Paul Tagonist is our friend from ZMDB. We've talked about him a few times. Well, that is so cool. And I swear to God, this is not rigged.
No.
His name was in there with all the other names.
We would not lie to you.
Mr. Paul Tagonist, you are the winner of the autographed copy of Freeze Dried The Awakening by none other than me, Keith Carpenter. Wow.
Congratulations.
That is so cool. Well, listen, we're going to get into a movie review here in a few minutes, and we're going to talk to I'm laughing because our zombies are trying to get in again. You hear them in the background?
They're banging and drilling again.
Somebody, I just got to tell everyone listening, because you probably heard this weird noise in one of the other podcasts. Somebody in this building is doing renovations on their condo unit, and they've been doing it for months. And all of a sudden, this drilling sound comes out of nowhere. We thought they were finally done, but they're not. Anyway, so back to what we were talking about. We're going to do our movie review here in a minute. But before we do that, I wanted to pitch something really fun.
Mm-hmm.
This week, and you know how I'm a video game fanatic, and I love zombie video games. Well, this week, I don't know, I was somewhere, and I followed this link that took me to this game online called Zombie Crypt.
Okay.
It's very Mario Brothers, it's very arcade-looking, but it's just a lot of fun. It's a simple game, but it's fun, and it gets so hard, because you know how when you're doing a computer game, you're using the buttons to make your character move, you know, on your keyboard? Well, you have two characters, and you have to... You have to be ambidextrous, man, because you're
moving
playing
two characters at once?
Yeah. You have to make like one of them pull a lever while the other one jumps. And it's really, my God, you got to be really coordinated to play this game.
I don't think I can have
But it's
that.
A lot of fun. It's called Zombie Crypt, and you can probably just Google Zombie Crypt and find it. But if you can't, it's at funny-games.biz/zombie-crypt.html. Let me say that one more time. www.funny-games.biz/zombie-crypt.html. You got to check it out, dude, if you like fun online games.
So it's a tiny, small little program for you, for PC?
It is. Yeah, it is. And I don't know. I don't know if it's available for, like, you know, Android or iPhones or any of that. But it's just a lot of fun to play online.
I will check it
out. I've been addicted to it all week, dude. And there's only like 12 levels, and I'm like on level 10. And, of course, each level gets harder.
Of course.
And they get pretty damn hard. Especially when you have to, you know, control both of your characters running around and doing. You've got to dodge zombies. You've got to do stuff to trap the zombies and make them fall into the running, you know, saw blades and, you know, stuff like that. It's just, it's a fun, fun game. But anyway, so I wanted to pitch that real quick. And you got anything you want to add before we get into our review?
Yes, yes, I got something to pimp.
Cool.
If you've listened to our podcast, you know that I have written a story for Heavy Metal magazine that came out in the July 2011 issue. I wrote a second story for the War of the Worlds Goliath animated film. This is coming out in the Heavy Metal 2011 Summer Special.
Cool.
This summer special contains pretty, I think it's wall to wall, all the short comic stories that were created as a prequel to War of the Worlds Goliath animated film. Mm-hmm. And my second story called Legacy will be included in that summer special.
Very cool, man.
With
Very
art cool. by a guy called Thousand Tentacles.
His name is Thousand Tentacles?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's his real name, but I think that's his handle. I think it's an awesome handle.
Thousand Tentacles.
Thousand Tentacles.
So he must be able to draw pretty easily with all those tentacles.
Yes, I'm sure. I love his art. It's very strange. It's really bizarre and surreal. It's not like your normal comic book art, but it really goes well with the story, I think.
Okay, well, set us up for our movie, because we have our movie review today.
Yes, we do. Okay. All right, this movie is called Undead or Alive. Mm-hmm. And Keith over here made me watch it.
I made you watch it.
You made me watch it. Basically, it's a Western zombie.
It's a Western zombie.
It's a Western zombie. And I hated it.
Okay. We'll get into that. We'll get into that in a second. Okay. It's directed by Glasgow Phillips. It's written by Glasgow Phillips and Scott Paroi. And it stars Lou Alexander, which you would probably know as Mike Delfino from Desperate Housewives, if you're a Desperate Housewives fan. Todd Anderson and Richard Bella. But you know what? Who's the other guy in
Chris
it?
Chris Kattan.
Chris Kattan, because his name's not
and
in
And it's
here.
Got the lead actress. Her name is Navi Rawat.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised because I'm sitting here looking at the credits and the stars, and it doesn't even name Chris Kattan, and he's a pretty big name.
Maybe they put it in alphabetical.
Okay, so you hated it. You said you hated it.
I hate it.
I was entertained by it. I thought it was cute.
See, my problem is I'm a big fan of the Western. Mm-hmm. I love the Western genre. I mean, I grew up with Clint Eastwood Westerns. Yep. I love, like, Silverado, mm-hmm. Unforgiven. I love Westerns. And I thought that this was just basically pissing all over it.
You really thought it was pissing all over Westerns?
It was so sort of forced. Everyone was just mugging for the camera. No one was... You didn't really feel any of the characters were real.
I agree with you on that. But it's a zombie, dude. It wasn't taking itself seriously. They weren't trying to make a serious zombie Western. This was all supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, you know, taking a piss out of the whole Western... the genre of Western movies, adding the zombie, you know... I don't know if you'd call it an apocalypse, but the zombie plague idea into the Western, you know, movie
right.
framework. I thought it was cute. I mean, it wasn't a great movie. I mean, I definitely would say that, but I was definitely entertained.
Yeah, I think my problem is, again, I understand what they were doing. They were trying to make fun of the genre, but I think I like it when they make fun of the genre, but the characters don't know that they're making fun of the genre. The characters
Dude,
are...
come on. It's Chris Kattan. I mean, come on.
That's another thing.
You know he's going to be mugging at the camera.
I hate Chris Kattan so much. He's not funny. Who decided he was funny?
Well, I have to... You know, I got to give you that because he's not my favorite funny man.
He's woefully miscast in this film.
You think so?
The character he's playing is meant to be the young, good-looking, dim-witted guy. All right. Everyone keeps calling him kid and stuff like that. He ain't that young. He looks about the same age as the lead character, who's meant to be the grizzled Western hero.
That's true.
He has a definite lack of chemistry with anyone.
There's something just, okay. Not good. I can go so far as to say I agree with you that he may have been miscast in this movie. I personally kind of like Chris Kattan and his comedy and the stuff that I've seen him in, like Monkey Bone and things like that. I mean, he's one of these Saturday Night Live, you know, yeah, alumni or whatever. But I do find him funny. And in this movie, he had his moments. You know, I mean, I thought he was funny in moments. But I agree with you that the character that they cast him in, that could have been a better choice.
What I will give you is there were some nice lines. There's some nice dialogue in this film. It's a very clever concept.
It is.
Because it uses basically the whole idea of Native American curses.
Exactly.
Creating the zombies rather than science.
I thought that was kind of fresh. I thought that was kind of an interesting, innovative new way, you know, new idea for a zombie movie. Because so many zombie movies are nuclear fallout or chemical whatever, you know what I mean? It's just
you can't do that in a Western that takes place in the 1800s.
Exactly.
And, you know, there were some nice moments where they're talking about sort of Western civilization versus Eastern civilization, the white man and what he brings to culture and history versus what he did to the Native Americans smallpox and things like that.
My least favorite character in the whole movie was the girl.
Yeah.
She just had, for the granddaughter of Geronimo or whatever she was supposed to be, she just had this New York gangsta girl thing going on. I mean, she just was not believable at all.
And the costume was strange. I mean, she looked like a stripper in a Las Vegas show. Yeah. I mean, it was a very strange.
Okay, so you hated the movie. How many internal organs would you give it?
Two.
Two internal organs.
Two internal organs.
Wow.
It commits the cardinal sin of a comedy. It's not funny.
I'd probably give it five. But anyway.
Five?
Yeah, but let's get away from that because we have an interview coming up with my favorite all-time writer, Mr. Len Bernhardt, whom I finally tracked down to talk about his work. So we'll be back in just a few minutes with our interview with Len Bernhardt. So don't go away. Be back after this.
Welcome to Paranormal Headline News. I'm your host, Bonnie Vent. Here are your top stories. Haunted house that spooked UK TV's Anne Diamond. Full Moon Paranormal investigates the Chaplin House. Genesis Creations Entertainment is proud to announce the book release of Conversations with the Dead, The Connection. Do you wonder what happens to us after we die? Looking for answers to the bigger questions in life? Well, it's available now on Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle versions. Just search Bonnie Vent on Amazon to view all the latest releases. Full Moon Paranormal, along with News 4's Cassandra Duval, search for proof of the paranormal. Here's a clip.
The Chapin House is nestled right on Main Street in Virginia City, and you can't miss its blue color or its sense of history. The home is almost 150 years old and has had dozens of owners. And the house has been used for many things, including a boarding house for most of the time. But during the fire of Virginia City in 1875, it was used as a triage center, and some people think even a morgue.
Generally, if there's a house with spirits that you don't find the house finds you.
Meet Ellen Miller, the newest owner of Chapin House. She's asked the team of investigators from Full Moon Paranormal to come in and investigate her new home, one she's only owned for about a month.
Well, things kind of started happening before I bought it.
Miller says something kept drawing her inside, specifically a small toy, she says, kept moving in different spots of the home every time she'd visit.
And I thought, okay, something's trying to get my attention here.
And now Miller and her husband are ready to find out exactly what's been pulling at her.
Overall, I would be a skeptic and things have to be really blatant for me.
Full Moon came in and set up their equipment, cameras on every floor of the old home, and voice recorders to capture anything we might miss. And they gave us pointers on how to have a successful investigation.
Investigators say sometimes mirrors and glass actually play tricks on people, showing them shadows and lights that aren't really there.
We also set up objects in different rooms.
We're in the area where a lot of people say they've experienced activity. We've actually set up children's toys to see what happens and if they move.
And now it's time for us to get to work. But before we get started, the investigators wanted to give the house a moment to release any extra energy, so we went outside. But before we even begin, things started happening.
you do that?
No.
That was one of the first things the team found from our night at the Chapin House.
Anne Diamond has revealed she was once scared off buying her dream home after coming face to face with the ghost of its previous owner. Miss Diamond, a regular guest on Channel 5's current affairs show, The Right Stuff, relived the scary encounter for a television show. Miss Diamond was house hunting and fell in love with a wonderful old Victorian house in Warwick and planned to move in with her four boys. She visited and was greeted by an elderly lady who had been born in the house and lived there all of her life, raising her own family there. She showed Miss Diamond around and said that she was sad to leave, but that her grown-up children were pressing her to sell. Miss Diamond contacted the agent and offered the asking price, only to be told that the lady had decided not to sell after all. 6 months later, Miss Diamond received a call from the estate agent saying the house was empty and back on the market. She collected the keys and went back to the house with her mother. At the front door, she was fiddling around trying to find the right key when the door opened and there was the same little white-haired old lady who'd first shown her around. This time, the house was bare and empty. Everything had been moved out except what seemed to be a large wooden box lying in the center of the living room floor that was the shape of a coffin. Both Miss Diamond and her mother had tingles running up and down their spines, so not being able to find the old lady again, they quickly left. When Miss Diamond returned the keys to the agent, she told him that the old lady had shown them around, and the agent said, "That can't have been her because she died a couple of months ago. The children are selling it now, and you had the only keys." Miss Diamond went back to find the wooden box in the middle of the room, but it had disappeared. She said, "I can only believe that it was the old lady's ghost that showed us around and that there was indeed a coffin on the living room floor. I can't get my mind off of that. In fact, I believe she's still there in the fabric of the house. Talk about spooked. I decided not to buy the place after all." Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parxnews@aol.com or join us at bonnievent.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vent.
When you were little, were you fond of giant purple dinosaurs, fuzzy frogs, or silly bears with tiny hats?
Well, get ready to ruin your childhood memories. CreepyPuppetProject.com. There's zombies, monsters, and gruesome things abound. We're the reason people find puppets creepy.
Welcome back to Rotten Zombies with Keith Carpenter and the Wren. And today I have a very special guest. He's the guy whose novels kind of got me on the whole zombie novel, you know, novel loving thing. So anyway, we have Mr. Len Bernhard with us today. How are you doing, Mr. Len Bernhard?
I am fine.
Well, listen, I really do appreciate you joining us today. And I know that it's your weekend, so, you know, I don't want to keep you too long. But I just wanted to spend some time talking to you, because you and I kind of became friends on Facebook a while back. I'm not sure how long ago it was. It may have been as long as a year now. I don't remember.
Yeah, something like that, I think.
Yeah, and I told you when I first contacted you on Facebook that I told you the story about how I accidentally ran across one of your novels, Reign of the Dead, and started reading it and just got instantly hooked. And anyway, I ever since then, and ever since you and I met and I started doing these podcasts, I really wanted to get you on to talk about your work. So tell us a little bit about yourself. First of all, where are you located right now? I mean, what part of the U.S. are you in?
Well, East Coast. I am about 60 miles west of Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
And I live smack dab in the middle of the Shenandoah Valley.
Oh, okay.
That's a green place. If it's not covered with asphalt or concrete, it's green.
Well, you know,
it's beautiful down here, especially.
It is a beautiful place. I used to live in Richmond, Virginia, so I know that area kind of well. It's a beautiful place. Well, I'll tell you what. I know that you kind of, just from some of the short chat conversations we've had on Facebook, I know that you're in the musical business. I in a band. I don't know the details. You can tell us a little bit about that. But I'm really curious how that went into writing zombie novels. Can you tell us a little bit of your background there?
I guess it's all the arts. I played music all my life pretty much. Back in the 80s, we did a lot of touring, doing the original thing and doing some stuff with National Wax, things like that. These days, not so much. Right now, I'm taking a break from music, and it's not that I don't plan to get back in it again, but sometimes you just need a break, and that's kind of what I'm taking now. When I do music, I'm usually the lead vocalist in the band. Sometimes I'll take a band and play bass and sing just some of the stuff, because I'm a pretty good bass player too. But I prefer singing. That's what I like to do best.
Well, and you've been doing it since the 80s. Wow, so I'm sure you're pretty darn good at it since you're still doing it. But it's funny because...
Well, not necessarily. That just means that I'm old.
Okay. Well, you said something to me that was really kind of funny one time we were talking on Facebook. I had asked you, why zombie novels? And you said, because there are too many... I think you said because there are too many Star Trek novels out there or something like that. I thought that was pretty funny.
You have to keep in mind that Reign of the Dead was my first book. It was the first attempt that I ever did at writing a full-length novel. So one of the things I did not want to do is stumble over the fact that I had to do a lot of research. I wanted to get into this project and just go with it, not do a bunch of research on what this is, what that is. So I had two choices, maybe a few more, but two of my passions at the time I started doing this, one was zombies, George Romero zombies, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The other, I love the old Star Trek series.
Okay.
So I thought about doing a Star Trek novel, and, if you go into a bookstore, there's 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
So I knew that my competition was going to be stiff there. For a first-time writer, it was going to be very tough to get out there and garner attention with it. So the other choice was zombies, and there was actually nothing out there. I think Philip Nutman had a book out years ago, but really I had not seen anything. So that's what I chose to write about, and I think it took about 2 years to write it, and then, of course, I shopped it around some after that.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
First full-length story, yes.
That's impressive, because I think you hit the ball out of the park with that one, because I couldn't put it down.
Well, looking back on it, I had a lot of fun writing it, and, it received a lot of good reviews, and, of course, there were people that didn't like it, too.
Well,
now,
of course.
I just finished a six-month undertaking of a revision of the book, because since I wrote Reign of the Dead, I've learned so much. And that novel has recently been picked up by two publishers, actually the first two, that would be Reign of the Dead and Apocalypse and Reign of the Dead. One of the publishers is from Spain, that's Eclipse Publishing, and they're going to be publishing the new revised version in just Spanish worldwide. Other publisher that just picked it up would be Severed Press.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to be publishing both right now, at this point, just the first novel in English.
Wow. So is the story, a lot different than the original one? Or, is it just, have you added some things?
Let me put it to you this way. The story is the same.
Uh-huh.
Its presentation is different.
Oh, okay.
But, like I said, it was 6 months undertaking with the first novel, and there's not a paragraph in the book that hasn't been changed.
Wow.
And that goes as far as sentence structure to punctuation. Like I said, I was a rookie when I wrote the first book. A lot of people loved it, but, looking back on it, I realized, a lot of the mistakes that I had made in writing it at that time. So it's a drastic improvement, in my opinion. It's much tighter, and, it never hurts to read these things back through. I think I went through that thing about 20 times to get it to where I wanted it.
I can imagine. Well, that's exciting. Now you've got me wanting to go out and get the new version. When is it coming out?
Well, the new version will be right now, within the next month. You're not going to be able to get either novel for a little while.
Okay.
It's already been pulled. Both the first novels have been pulled from the previous publishers. And so right now, they're kind of in limbo. I think you could probably still get the older version if you wanted.
Well,
I wouldn't suggest it. I would.
I was just going to say, I have links. I have links on my website to your novels. So do, should I take those down and wait for new links up?
You can get them from my site.
Okay.
You know, and that would be the revised version of Reign of the Dead that you can get from the site. Right now, Apocalypse End, you can get it there, but it's not the revised version yet. I would wait. I'm currently working on that project.
Okay.
And it's going to take several months, and then that will also be available through Severed Press. So I would wait until Apocalypse End revision is finished before you bought that.
Okay. Well, I will definitely do that. I think I shared the story with you. You know, I've never been, all of my life, I've never been a novel reader. I mean, I've always written stories and I've loved to write, and I was a dyslexic kid, so I reading for me was always such a chore. And I remember it was about 10 years ago, I had just moved to Singapore, and I was living here in Asia, and you couldn't just go out and get zombie movies at the, you know, down at the local movie store or whatever. And so I was ordering some zombie movies from Amazon.com. And you know how Amazon says, well, if you like this, you might like this, you know, and they give you these recommendations.
Right.
And they recommended this thing called Reign of the Dead. And I just glanced at it, and it looked really cool. I didn't really read the fine print and didn't know it was a book. And so I ordered it.
Right.
And so when my shipment came in, I had, you know, several movies, and I looked and went, what the heck? It's a book, man. I'm like, I don't want to read a book. You know, I want to watch a freaking movie, you know? But I started reading it. And of course, I'd never heard of you at that point because I wasn't into zombie novels. And, I started reading it, and I swear I read it for me. I read it in 2 days. And for me, that's fast, Len. I mean, I sat there, I was laying on the couch just reading, and I couldn't put it down. It was such a good book. And I know it sounds, I mean, I don't mean to sound like I'm, you know, just, flattering you or anything, but I'm just being honest about how this book to me was really good, and it got me hooked.
You know, that's the story that I hear from many, many readers, is how they sat down and read it in a day or 2 days, and you know how they were hooked. But you know, one of the reasons that Reign of the Dead catches you, there's actually a couple of reasons. Number one, it's a pretty good story. Number two, the chapters are short, so that keeps your attention. If you get bored with something, you're quickly jumping over to something else.
Yeah.
Number three is, if you notice at the end of each chapter for Reign of the Dead, most of them, 90% of its chapters, there's some kind of a little cliffhanger at the end of each chapter that gets you thinking, uh-oh, I need to read the next chapter so I can get back and see what's going to happen here.
Exactly.
So it kind of keeps you reading. Another thing is I also heard from a lot of readers that it was kind of cinematically written, kind of like a movie a bit.
Yeah.
Well, I guess somewhat it was. This is a zombie novel. It's not War and Peace. There's not a lot of detail, even though in the revision I did go back and give some more details here and there about certain things. But it's a zombie novel. It's created in a style to grab you right away and keep you reading until you're done.
Mm-hmm. Well, it worked on me. And, you know, it was funny because, I mean, I don't want to give anything away to people who haven't read it, but to me, the beginning of the book, the first couple of pages just hooked me. You know, I mean, you have this person who's been out of town and doing his thing, and he comes back and boom, and it was like, wow. And it really got me hooked early on, you know. The first couple of pages.
Yeah, if you notice there, just about any zombie story or movie or whatever that you're watching now, they kind of do the same thing. They get away from explaining how civilization fell and just dive right into it after it's fallen, and then
Absolutely. You
get some flashback or something like that. And, you know, that's a way of getting the watcher or the reader into the story right away, right into the meat of the story.
Yeah.
And that's what I also wanted to do with Reign of the Dead when I wrote that. I didn't know much about writing when I did that, but one of the things that I did know is grab the reader within the first few chapters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I wanted to do with Reign of the Dead.
Yeah. Well, it worked, and I'll tell you, as soon as I was done with it, I had to get back on Amazon, and I had to order your second book, and then wait for, because going from the U.S. to Singapore, it took a couple of weeks to get the darn thing. But I just recently read your third book, which is a prequel to the two, and it was really, really, again, and I told you that, because if you remember, I wrote to you and sent you kind of my review of it, and I really, really enjoyed it, and I told you, it made me just want your next book. So tell us a little bit. I mean, tell me a little bit about how did this all come about? I mean, have you been a huge zombie fan since you were a kid like I have, or is this something that you, how did you get into the zombie thing?
You know, I had never, when I was 9 or 10 years old, I had heard about a movie called Night of the Living Dead because I've got an older brother. And he and his girlfriend or some friends went to one of these all-night horror shows once where Blood Feast and 10,000 Maniacs and Night of the Living Dead was playing. And he was explaining about some of these movies because I was a horror buff when I was a kid. I used to watch Chiller at Night and Shock Theater, things like that. So, you know, the most I'd ever heard was just the title mentioned. And one night I was watching late-night television and this movie came on called Night of the Living Dead. And at first I thought it was a vampire movie, you know, because Living Dead. I didn't know anything about Living Dead except vampires. So I sat down and watched it, and obviously, you know, it pretty quickly you realize it's not a vampire movie. And it's actually quite shocking. Even the old black and white version of Night of the Living Dead is quite shocking. And I think that's what drew me into it and got me very interested in it. And then I think 2 months later, I saw a commercial on television for Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, that's the sequel to that movie I just saw, so I'm going to have to go check that out. I did, and in my opinion, Dawn of the Dead is one of the all-time great horror classics.
Mm-hmm.
I think George Romero had all his apples in that script basket.
Yeah,
it is a great story. The writing is top-notch on that movie. Now, there are other things, production values, or, you know, the cost that they put in, the money that they put into the movie was a little on the slim side, even for that time.
Yeah.
Sometimes the acting leaves a little to be desired. Not that the people in it aren't great actors. It's just that George Romero isn't a big actor's director. He has other things. His strength is in cutting and things like that.
But you know, I've heard that that when he first started doing Night of the Living Dead, you know, it was kind of like a student film almost or something like that. I mean, he was just starting out and it was going to be like this short, really major low budget, or not short film, but it was going to be a really, really low budget film. And I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, but he had something else in mind, but he just didn't have the budget for it. So he thought, well, I'll make a horror movie and it'll, you know, I'll have the budget for it. And so I think with Dawn of the Dead, I mean, obviously, he knew now after the success of the first, and then the not only success, but I mean, it was very controversial. I mean, he really shook a lot of cages with that movie. And I think, you know, going into Dawn of the Dead, he knew what he wanted, and so that movie was so much better. And obviously, the production value and everything, he really hit it out of the park with that one. You know,
well, he did. I mean, Dawn of the Dead, it's like I said, it's one of the all-time great horror classics, and it will stand the test of time.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is because it was just a superb script.
Yeah.
And, you know, Day of the Dead was the one after that. I didn't like Day of the Dead as much, but it's grown on me over time. I like it now more than I did 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and that's about as far as I go with zombies as Romero, even though, you know, the last couple movies that he's made, Survival and Diarrhea, I wasn't crazy about either one of those.
Well, you know.
The new Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah, that's what I was going to
ask. The Dawn of the Dead remake was okay.
Yeah, so you think it was only, because I was going to ask you that. You think it was only okay? I mean, I freaking loved it. I thought it had a lot of really good things going for it, and I thought that, you know, going
the
back.
The new Dawn of the Dead, you mean?
Yeah, the new Dawn of the Dead remake. I mean, I thought that they really stayed really true to the you know, to the original idea, the original story idea, and embellished it nicely, did some things differently and did them well. I mean, obviously the story was so different. I mean, you know, the ending and everything was very different. And I thought that one was really successful. And if you go and watch, as far as remakes of George Romero's movies, and the Ren and I talk about this on our review, you know, the remake of Day of the Dead was horrendous. You know, I mean, as a zombie movie, if they hadn't put the name Day of the Dead and just made it a zombie movie and didn't try to make it a remake, it would have been okay. But as a remake of that classic George Romero movie, I thought it was a piece of crap, you know. And I mean,
yeah, I did not like Day of the Dead remake at all. As far as the Dawn of the Dead remake, I said it was okay. What I mean by that is compared to the original Dawn of the Dead, it was okay. I don't think it's in the same league as the original Dawn of the Dead. Was it entertaining? Hell yes, it was entertaining. I went to see it at the theater and I came out of there very satisfied with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're comparing it up against the original, no, I don't think it holds the weight of the original movie. But it was a good movie. And it was full of excitement, and I enjoyed it.
Because Romero was kind of, I mean, you said you're kind of limited in your love of zombies, all things zombie. You're kind of limited to George Romero's stuff. Does that mean that you're kind of a purist when it comes to this whole new idea of running zombies versus versus slow lumbering zombies. Because, I mean, I've gotten into that debate with friends I've talked to, even on the podcast, you know, with Ren and I. You know, I'm a lumbering, slow, creepy zombie fan. The running zombies, to me, just don't do it for me. How do you feel about that?
Here's my opinion on that. I think there's enough room for any kind of zombie they want. Running zombies, walking zombies. You know, why not? It's a genre that needs to expand some anyway, because you don't have the same freedoms with zombies as you do vampires. So you do have to get a little creative sometimes, or it will get stale very quickly. Mm-hmm. The issues that I have with running zombies over slow zombies, I'm not crazy about them. I'll watch them. You know, if it's a good movie, I'll enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're bastardizing or you know, cutting off at the knees, slow zombies.
Yeah.
The thing about slow zombies is it's very creepy. I like the fact that, you know, you have those dead eyes and lack of humanity, period.
Exactly.
Running kind of gives you that predator, aspect to it a little more than the slow zombies. But slow zombies is a little more unearthly. It's creepy.
Well, it's like I told, when the Ren and I were talking about this in our review of, I don't remember which movie it was, we were talking about this dynamic slow versus fast. You know, to me, a creepy, slow zombie creeping up on you in the dark, you know, and the suspense involved in it, I mean, that, to me, that's just scarier than a guy chasing someone across a parking lot. You know, I mean, it's like, you see that in every cop and robber movie, it's done all the time. But the dynamic of this is a corpse that's risen from the dead, be it out of a grave and rotting and, you know, decrepit or whatever, or freshly killed, it's still a dead body. So you still have, and to me, you've got, I mean, even though making a movie, writing a book, whatever, I mean, you can take creative license till you're blue in the face, but you still have to have some rules of physics and rules of biology and rules of reality. And if a dead body's going to have the whatever breath of life enough to get up and move around, it's still going to have limitations, you know. And so to see a dead...
Definitely. You know, for one thing, I've never survived the fast zombie world. I was born in 1959, so if there are fast zombies, I'm a goner. You know, I can't even run to the mountain fast enough. But, you know, it's just my preference. I like the slow zombies, and that's just because it's my preference. It's not that I don't like fast zombies. It's just my preference.
Well, and don't get me wrong, I've enjoyed many, many zombie movies that have fast running zombies in them, so it's not like I boycott them or anything, but I'm with you. I think the slow ones are creepier. But man, I'll tell you, we've actually burned up a whole lot of time here. I wasn't going to go this long, but this is a great conversation. Well, listen, I wanted to just get you to tell, just really quickly tell people listening, a little bit about, I mean, without going into great detail, just what they can expect in getting your books and reading your book and, where they can get them. Because I definitely want to turn people on to your work.
Yeah. Well, let's tell them where they can get them right now first. Since the books have been pulled from previous publishers and are being delivered to new publishers and published worldwide that way, currently you're probably going to have a tough time getting the novel.
Okay.
You can get them from my site.
Yeah, well, yes.
RainOfTheDead.com, R-E-I-G-N.
Good, okay.
Yeah, they can get them there. You know, it's probably not going to be long before they're available from the presses that have picked them up and we've done contracts with. So you're not going to have to wait long, even if you don't get it from my site. Also, what can you expect? Well, there's going to be one more Reign of the Dead novel.
Okay.
It's not going to be out for a little while, and that one's called Reign of the Dead Tribulation. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go into too much details about it, except that think Sons of Anarchy and zombies.
Cool.
If you've seen that show on television.
Okay.
The book that I'm working on right now is called The Eighth Day, and you can actually read a chapter from The Eighth Day online at RainOfTheDead.com. And it is not zombies. The Eighth Day is an apocalyptic tale, because I like, you know, end of the world type stories. It's different. People start disappearing one day, and, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. And we're talking worldwide, massive amounts of people just vanishing. So, and that's a great story. We're, about halfway through, a little over halfway through, the word count of that book is probably going to be around 120,000 words, which means it's probably going to be around 350 to 400 pages long, something like that. But that is a fantastic story, full of twists and turns all the way through.
Cool.
And I think that's going to be the big book for me.
That's going to be the one that does me justice. And when is this book going to be slated to come out?
Well, still some writing to do. And then, of course, it's probably going to be close to 2 years before that book gets out.
Okay.
And of course, then, you know, we'll shop this to some bigger publishers, and because this is a story that honestly should not have too much trouble being picked up by, you know, some of the bigger publishers.
Yeah. Well, listen, I wanted to ask you real quick. So your first two books, Reign of the Dead and Reign of the Dead Apocalypse End, they're not going to be, the original versions of them are not going to be available for a little while. Would it be correct to say that if someone out there who's not familiar with your work and wanted to check it out, that they could probably go ahead and get your third book and read it first, because it is a prequel? Would the story flow nicely?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you bought your third book and then bought
your book.
Okay, because I mean, I would hate for someone out there to just sit around twiddle their thumbs and and not try to, you know, check out your work because the books are not available. So run out and get the third book, read it first, and then get the first two books, because it's all one big story that continues.
Yeah, they can do that.
That's cool.
And remember, it's not going to be long before these books are available in English again from Severed. So it's not like they're going to have to wait a long period of time. And they can still get the novels from reignofthedead.com. And, yes, you are correct that the original version of either of these books will not be available anymore.
Wow. You know what?
The original version of Reign of the Dead.
I wish I had. You autographed my copy of your third book. I wish I had you autograph the first two, because they're not going to be available anymore. Someday they'll be worth a mint. But anyway.
Well, thank you. I don't know if you've got my address or not, but you can always send them off to me, and I'll happily scribble something in there.
I will do that. Well, listen, Len, I really, really appreciate you spending the time to talk to us, and it's been great. And maybe one of these days, I mean, I know you're a busy guy, but maybe one of these days when Ren and I do a review of a movie, if it's something that you've seen, or if we do like something that's you know, pretty well known, maybe we can get you on the horn and have you chat with us about the review. It'd be really nice, you know, and do it.
That sounds great.
Because we don't do the show live, but we can hook up with you live while we're doing it, and that'd be great. But listen, thanks so much, man, and you have a great weekend, and I can't wait to read your next book.
Well, thank you. I was happy to be here. I had fun.
Okay, well, you take care, and we'll talk to you again later.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the most death-defying show in town.
Zombie Circus.
A tale of love, lust, betrayal, revenge, sex, violence, and gore.
We know you're dying to eat it.
So make sure you go to Amazon.com or KeithCarpenter.biz to get your copy of Zombie Circus.
Or finer bookstores everywhere.
Now, sir, you wanted to make a comment because we just talked to Len Bernard.
Yeah. You lent me his books, and I'm glad you did. I've only read the first one so far, but I remember being really fascinated by the fact that it follows individual characters, and each have their own story, and yet each one was so different. You had one which is very much a scientific sort of investigation of what caused the zombie plague. You had one which approached it very much from the aspect of religion and whether this was the end of days. And then you had one which was pretty much, you know, just a survival story. So it was interesting how you had these three very different sort of tropes of the zombie genre. Yeah, and I like the fact that it felt like they all fit. They didn't seem that they were out of place in the book. So yeah, and I'm really glad. I can't wait to read the second one.
You know what I want to do, because I just read his third one, which is a prequel.
Wait, is it a? Oh, it's a prequel.
It's a prequel.
Right.
I want to now read the first one again, in light of the prequel, and what happened in the prequel, as a continuation. You know, because in my head, I like to kind of play it like a movie in my head. You know,
starts from beginning to
end. Yeah. And he was saying that he's rewritten, as you just heard in the interview. You know, he's rewritten the first two books, and done a lot of tweaking on them. So the original versions are off the market.
Wow.
Are going to be soon, And he's going to have the new versions, the new edited versions on the market.
So is it going to be like one giant omnibus?
No, I don't think it's going to be. I don't think he's going to do that. But it'll definitely be new edited, tweaked versions.
Because, that's very cool.
Yeah, because he was saying, you know, that it was his first time to ride, blah blah blah. So I totally understand that. That's going to be cool. But it'll be neat to have the originals, you know. And for people who can't get his books now, because I was saying this to him in an interview. It might be a good idea to get the third book, the prequel, read it, and then get the new revised versions, because then it'll all flow as one big long story.
Cool.
Because the story is really cool. I mean, I absolutely love his style of writing, and he was really the author that inspired me start writing.
His style actually reminds me a bit of Stephen King. It's that sort of just tell the story.
But better.
Yeah. Hey, I won't hear a word against Stephen.
Anyway, thanks so much for joining us. And we'll see you next time on Rotten Zombies.
Be good, everybody.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's our goal to entertain you.